just one of two ways.
Is one of them the easy way?
No.
I don't understand. What do you mean it's not the easy way? I don't...
You shut your mouth when you're talking to us.
Yeah.
In a world where bad guys blow things up and do bad things, a group of people must stand up for justice. They must bring hope back to their city. These are agents of action, intrigue, and of course, cool explosions. They fight back to bring fear to the world.
We're here to throw down.
Wake up!
Oh, wow! I had a weird dream. I really need to change my eating habits.
I love Nate. My wife will tell you I need to change my eating habits too, because Nate's my lunch buddy a lot of times during the week, so yeah. That tells a lot. I am super excited about this weekend. This weekend, we are kicking off a week-long emphasis on missions. As a missions pastor, this is one of my favorite year.
Pastor Chad, I'm ready for missions week. Yeah, I what's the matter?
Listen, I'm no doctor.
Wait a minute. Let me tell you why I'm doing this. Because it's Missions Week, and we're in this series called Agents of Change, right? How many of you have been here for that, right? And I want to celebrate the fact that our missionaries are superheroes. I mean, these brave men and women go all over the globe spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I thought I should get dressed up like Superman to just kind of pay homage to these missionary superheroes, right? Because they are superheroes. Don't you think that missionaries are superheroes? Come on, let's hear it.
All right, I'm not a doctor, and I don't have a PhD like you, but you're crazy. Literally crazy. You got this thing all wrong. Missionaries are not superheroes. They're just average, ordinary people being used by God to impact lives. See, God can use anyone to make a difference in people's lives if they're just willing to get involved in missions.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that missionaries don't have superpowers?
Missionaries are not superheroes. They just serve a super God.
Huh. Well, I guess that changes things then, doesn't it? That changes everything. And that's the point that we're going to try and make to you this morning, that you don't have to be a superhero to change the world. How many of you are glad for that? Right? We don't have to be. In fact, I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. All right? So go ahead and turn there as we kick off our emphasis week on missions. And I want to share with you just seven words that Jesus spoke that are absolutely life-changing. They're not only life-changing for you, but they're going to be life-changing for people around the world that have never heard of Jesus Christ. Are you there? Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Here are the seven words. You, that means every one of you in this room, that means every one of you watching online. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Those are the seven words. You are the salt of the earth. Jesus didn't say that you are the nuclear bombs of the earth. That would have kind of been cool, right? Because nuclear bombs are big and loud, and when they hit something, man, everything changes, right? Absolutely. But Jesus didn't say you're nuclear bombs. Probably because he knows we're more like sparklers, right? He didn't say you are the stars of the world, or you are the kings and queens, or you are the presidents and prime ministers, or you are the movers and shakers of the world. He didn't use any of those terms. Jesus says you are the salt of the earth. In other words, he chooses a very ordinary metaphor, because salt was something that was so common in that day, it's so common in our day, that people take it for granted, don't they? And yet, in Jesus' day, those people desperately needed salt because of what salt had to offer. It was a preserving agent that they used to keep their food. So here's Jesus in this verse, and he speaks to this young, uneducated, poor, and powerless group that had none of the characteristics associated with being world changers, all right? These disciples were anything but world changers. And Jesus turns to them and he says these words, "You are the salt of the earth." Have you ever read that verse and wondered why? You should. Because salt is a powerful change agent, right? Salt changes everything it comes in contact with, everything it touches. Take this winter, for example. Look at all of the stuff that salt has ruined this winter, right? Carpets. You know, you look, you got all these salt marks on the carpets, your car. Salt is a powerful thing, and yet salt is common, right? It's ordinary. It's plentiful. It's everywhere. That's why Jesus chose that metaphor. You see, most of us don't see ourselves as change agents in this world. We see ourselves as common, as ordinary. But with these seven words, Jesus was conveying a message to those disciples who saw themselves, by the way, as being very, very ordinary, and to all of us. And he was saying to us, look it, gang, you are change agents. You may feel as unspectacular and as ordinary as table salt, but it doesn't change the fact that you are the salt of the earth. And everywhere you go, you make a difference. Now, that could be a good difference or that could be a bad difference. But Jesus was just making the statement, you make a difference. And so as we come to Missions Week, Pastor Chad and I want you to know that we together, again this year as Life Church, have an opportunity as the salt of the earth to make a difference in people's lives through our participation in missions. And so we want to talk about a couple of things today. We want to talk about the why of missions. We want to talk about the who of missions. And we're going to talk to you about the what of missions if we can. So let's start off with the why of missions. Why missions? Why do we do a missions emphasis week? Why is Life Church so involved in missions around the world? Well, the famous preacher J. Oswald Smith once said this. He said, the mission of the church is missions. One of the greatest preachers who ever lived, Charles Spurgeon, he was known as the Prince of Preachers. He said this, if there is anywhere where we cannot tolerate lukewarmness, it's in the matter of sending the gospel to a dying world. In fact, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus told the people that were listening to him, he said, I want you to take this gospel, I want you to take this good news everywhere, starting with Jerusalem and then to the ends of the earth. For us, that means starting in Roscoe or starting in the town that you live in and to the ends of the earth. So I started thinking this week in preparation for what we were going to do about how many reasons I could come up with for why you and I should be involved in missions. And I thought, man, I should put together a top 10 list. Top 10 best reasons why we should participate in missions. You know what, Pastor Chad? The more I got to thinking about it, the more I realized something. There aren't a top 10 list of reasons. There's really only one reason why every one of us in this room, everyone watching online, should be involved in missions. Because everyone on this planet deserves the chance to hear the good news of what Jesus Christ has done for them at least once in their life. Everybody deserves that chance. You've had that chance, but everybody on the planet. There's no other reason than that. I mean, that sums it all up. And I truly believe that God blesses individuals, he blesses families, and he blesses churches that are missions-hearted, that participate in the call to missions. I've seen the last couple years that I've been here how generous, I mean extremely generous, this church is when it comes to missions. This is a missions church. I mean, it's amazing. You're going to hear about all the missionary support, what we've raised, what we've done this year. Kudos to all of you. I applaud you for your participation in missions. But I was thinking about the difference between missions giving and charitable giving. You know, it's pretty in vogue. It's fashionable right now for people to give to charities, right? Even big businesses and people that own companies. They're always looking for charities that they can give to it so it makes them look good, right? Well, here's the difference between charitable giving and missions giving. Charitable giving When you give to a charity, you give to a cause, right? But when you give to missions, all right, it saves people from eternal separation from God. It's good to give to charitable causes, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But just understand, that's different than when you give to missions, because when you give to missions, people get saved. People that were going to hell now get to go to heaven. So Pastor Chad, talk to us about the who of missions today.
Life Church is a generous church, and because of your generosity, Life Church was able to make a huge impact around the globe this year. I can tell you right now that we meet with missionaries on a weekly basis. People come and knocking on our doors. They want to be part of missions, and they're looking for support and trying to get on the field. And I want to tell you, we're good stewards with your finances. When we choose these missionaries, we're sowing into good ground. We don't take on just any missionary. I'm not saying that there's bad missionaries, but we're very selective, and we've got some incredible missionaries that this church serves and that we support. And right now, I want to share some stats with you. This past year, we supported 32 different missionary, that's couples, individual, families, units out there around the world. 32 different families.
Awesome.
Located in 21 different countries on 5 different continents, including right here in America. We thought it'd be great for you to get to meet some of these missionaries, but first I want to tell you, we gave last year over $183,000 to missions.
Woo! That is awesome, isn't it? $183,000. That's fantastic.
And every one of those dollars represents lives. Lives impacted, yeah. Lives changed. It's not just about money, but $183,000 out of this house. You guys should be proud of yourselves. Before we get into some of the foreign missionaries, we want to share some of our local missions. And you might ask, why do we give money to missionaries in America? You know, everybody thinks of missions. They think of missions as being like overseas in a different country. But the first reason that we give here in America is America is fastly becoming one of the greatest mission fields on the planet.
That's right.
America is in desperate need right now. And that's why we are investing in local missions and missions here in the U.S. The second reason is because of the inner cities. The inner cities in America are huge missions opportunities. The fields are ripe right there in the inner cities. The issue is that in these inner cities, a lot of these pastors, they don't have the resources.
That's right.
They don't have the funds to get things done. So it takes people to help them financially for the people that want to be there. There are people that are called to these inner cities, and they need the support. And that's our job to come and stand beside them and help them along with the finances.
Yeah. So some of the missionaries, home missionaries, missionaries in America that you support, and you've supported this past year with your missions dollars, are couples like Charles and Kehinde Moody of Urban Outreach. They serve in the south side of Chicago. I've been there numerous times and ministered alongside of them. This is a great couple. They are in the worst neighborhood in Chicago. In fact, when you pick up your newspaper or you watch the news and you read about all of the murders in Chicago, all right? Last year, almost 500 people were murdered in Chicago. 85% of them come from one neighborhood. It's the neighborhood they're in, the Inglewood Southside neighborhood. They're right in the middle of that thing, helping people. They're educating kids. They've got a preschool there, Pastor Chad, where they're trying to get kids off the street, teach them about Jesus. They help the homeless. They train people. They feed people. They evangelize. This is a great couple. And so amazing, amazing people. Then you support with your missions dollars Josh Holder and his wife. They are in New Orleans. I don't know if you know this, but New Orleans is still in bad shape from Hurricane Katrina. That happened in 2005, gang. It's 2019. Do you know that there are still parishes of New Orleans that have not been rebuilt yet? So the poverty there is immense, the despair, the discouragement. And so Josh and his wife are there. They're ministering to the people there. They've started a church there. They're just doing a great work, great young couple. Then we have some local agencies that we support in the Rockford area that we wanted you to know about, like One Body Collaborative, which coordinates resources amongst all the churches in the Rockford area to help people that are dealing with poverty, homelessness, prison issues, financial problems. And so all the churches join together to support One Body Collaborative, and it really is an amazing organization. And then you support Teen Challenge. And Teen Challenge in Illinois has several different centers. This year, they opened up a brand new center for women, which is a great praise report. When they were here last year, how many of you remember seeing the Teen Challenge guys and the choir that were here last year? Amazing guys. Last year, they told you they were hoping to open a women's center in 2018. Guess what? It got done. And I also want you to know that we have people right here from this church that on a regular basis are going down to lead ministry to those men at Teen Challenge. And so my wife, Crystal, has been leading a team of our men who have been going down on a regular basis to Teen Challenge in Chicago and ministering to them. So, man, we are heavily involved with Teen Challenge. So thank you for your support of Teen Challenge. And then we've got Stateline Youth for Christ, which is a campus Bible clubs that are all throughout this region. Youth for Christ has been around for decades. And so they have been able to get on many of the high school and middle school campuses here in this region. And so we support the work and the effort that they're doing as well. So those are just a few of our home missionaries, not all of them, but a few that we wanted to highlight. So talk to us about our foreign missionaries.
So some of the foreign missionaries that we support, we have Rich and Michelle Franzen from Impact Africa over in South Africa. This is a family that our LC students got to go over last year and do a missions trip with them. Phenomenal work they're doing there, you know, with the children, with evangelistic outreaches and the education of some of these poor communities. And they're doing a great work there. We have Pete and Libby Miska. How many of you know Pete and Libby? Okay. Woo. I would hope you do. They are from here. But Pete and Libby are doing a great job in Zambia. They're with Overland Missions. And then we just recently sent out Jared and Brittany, who are also going to be joining over in that region as well. So we're super excited about that.
Right.
Neat thing about Pete and Libby's ministry, I mean, Libby's doing things all over there with the women and in some with worship and just different things using the talents that God's given her. But what I loved about Pete is he's got a different type of ministry that you don't usually think about when you think of missions. But he keeps all the vehicles running. He basically keeps everything, all the equipment and everything going so that they can get out into these areas that are really far out there. And they got to go into communities where people have never even heard the gospel before. But he enables their vehicles and their equipment to get out there so that they can minister. Then we have Derek Walker. They're ministering in the country of Mali. And my wife and daughter corrected me earlier because I said it's a little landlocked country. It's not really little. It is landlocked. But it's over on the western side of Africa. But it's a pretty large country. But it's almost all nomadic people because this whole entire area is nothing but desert. And this is one of those live-dead areas that people talk about where it's an area where you just can't go in and minister. It's one of those closed-off areas, but they're in there ministering. And
By the way, you should know that Derek Walker and his wife Tammy are the parents of Pastor Ashton's wife Stephanie. So we get to support them, so that's kind of a cool sidelight.
We also have Earl and Laura Goodrich. They're the field directors for children's ministry in South Africa. And for anybody that's ever been to South Africa or that southern half of Africa, you realize that it's majority children. Almost all of southern Africa is kids. Like you go into Swaziland, over half the population is under the age of 14. So this family, they're out there and they're doing all kinds of children's work. They're training up children's discipleship groups, doing a great job just pushing out children's workers throughout southern Africa.
By the way, I didn't say this in the other services, but Earl is one of the kids that I disciple as a youth pastor. He was in my youth group.
Wow.
And so proud of him. And if you would have seen the family that this kid grew up in and what God has done with his life, it's an unbelievable story.
Does he wear costumes?
I think everybody I've discipled wears costumes now. Even Pastor Kevin is getting into costumes. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Costumes translate in any language.
That's right.
Over in Indonesia, we also support Jamie Kemp, Jeremy Skinner, and Ben Struss. And Indonesia, it's a unique area. It's almost all completely Muslim. Very hard to minister in that area. But they've done a great job. They got these ESL centers where they train English, and they're able to reach out to people through teaching English. But one of the neat things, I get reports back about a lot of the college ministry that they're doing, and they're really impacting the college students too. So continue to pray for them. That's a tough area to work, but they're doing a phenomenal job over there. Then we have Joyce Catano over in Japan, Susan Clift, many of you may know her, in China. She's one of the very first missionaries this church ever took on. Bill Snyder over in the Philippines has been very instrumental in reaching that area through media, a very, very creative man. He got to come and speak to our staff a while back and really impressed with his ministry. In that same area, we also have Elgin Combs. He's a brand new missionary. He's over in Moldova. Moldova is the sex trafficking capital of the world. And I had the privilege of going out to lunch with him before when he was itinerating, and he was just sharing me his heart, and just an incredible guy. And I'm really excited for him. It's a young family out there serving in this area. pray for them. It's hard. You move your family when they're used to things here in America, and you're moving them over to another country like that. It can be difficult, but just continue to lift them up in prayer, and it's a huge need in that area. We also support Brian and Carolyn Dunn. Brian's a personal friend of mine. I grew up with him in youth ministry, worked together for almost 8 years doing youth ministry, and just a great guy, great discipler. This man, I mean, he will disciple people. He takes them under their wing and raises them up. But Brian and Carolyn are ministering in Sweden. Sweden has less than 1% of the population is Christian. It's mostly an atheist and an agnostic area. But I got a great report. They just sent me a message right before the first service. See over there, it's already, I think it's 5 hours later, so they've already had church. Today was a launch of their church. It's called Stockholm Community Church. And they had over 100 people show up their first Sunday from 20 different nationalities.
Isn't that awesome?
And that's another one of the new missionaries that we just took on this past year. And I'm excited to see that number continue to go up. That 1% is not going to remain 1%. Yeah. And then for many years, our church has supported Corey Ehrman over in Turkey. And they've got a unique ministry. That's a tough, tough area to minister. But he's got a neat thing. They got through this River Bible Institute that he has in Istanbul. They're able to disciple believers. He's got a network of churches that he reaches, a lot of it through media and through his TV broadcast that he does. And that's one of the only ways you can get into some of these areas is through the TV.
We also want you to know when it comes to foreign missions, we have a couple of people that are part of Life Church that are doing some awesome things. One of them is Dr. Helen Laib. She has what's called Circle of Love Foundation. And what she's been doing for years and years is taking about 4 to 5 medical trips every year overseas. She is a part of our Rockford campus. She's a lay person. But get this. Over the last number of years she's been doing this, over 100,000 people have given their lives to Jesus Christ because of her medical mission trips. Isn't that awesome? We ought to praise God for that. Now that's being salt.
That's awesome.
I mean, that is so, so cool.
And you may see, like, for the OCD people, you think the flags aren't even because we're missing one back there. Well, actually, Guatemala is on the way, and that's one of the areas that she's really heavily been working in lately. So you will see Guatemala up next week. So come back to see their flag.
Another person that has really gotten behind something at our Rockford campus is Judy Golitz. And she has brought to us, the last 2 years or so, the Shoebox Christmas Outreach. And we wanted to let you know that this year, we put together from Life Church 312 shoeboxes that went to kids in Togo, West Africa for Christmas. By the way, that's a new record for Life Church. In the 3 years we've been doing it, that's the most that we've ever sent, and that is awesome. So we got some great people right here as a part of this church that are feeling the call to missions, and they're doing great things. And so we want you to know, the reason we're sharing about our missionaries, we want you to know where your missions dollars are going, and that when you give, people are being helped. People are being saved. Their lives are being transformed. So Pastor Chad, finally today, talk to us about the what of missions.
I'm going to share with you some of the mission trips that we were able to take as Life Church this past year. Our church sent out 4 teams around the world. But before I do that, I just wanted to put out a plug on the mission trips. I had somebody come up to me a couple weeks ago, and they were under the impression that Life Church actually paid all these people to go. Like, we paid the way for everybody to go on these mission trips. And I want to let you know that everybody sacrifices to go on these trips. They give up their vacation time. They have to raise their own funds to go. And it's a huge sacrifice. And so when you see these people going on this trip, if you're not able to go on a trip, maybe you'll say, hey, you know what? I want to help you get on your trip and help them go. We got 2 trips coming up, 1 to Israel. And Pastor Ken can share a little bit more about Israel here in a bit. But we have a table in back. You can sign up for that trip. Then in November, we'll be taking another trip down to Swaziland, now Eswatini. I keep forgetting to call it the right name. It's Swaziland to me. But we'll be taking that trip back in November. So, man, be looking out. We've got a lot of local trips that we're going to try to do. As a missions pastor, one of my goals is to get every single person in this church on a missions trip, whether it's overseas or whether it's local. You know, we're going to try to get mission trips so that we can get everybody on. Pastor Heather has one that she's doing right now with Feed My Starving Children. Mm-hmm. And that's a place where you go and package the food that gets sent out all over the world to help feed at some of these feeding sites. And it's a great opportunity for parents to go with their kids and actually get to serve together. But be listening. We got more trips that are coming your way. But here's some highlights. First of all, it started in May. Our Life Church Leadership College students went over to Thailand. And I know when Pastor Maria came back with the team, she was able to share some of the highlights of that trip. But it was an incredible trip. The team got to work with 2 of our missionaries, Todd and Julie Powers, mm-hmm. that are actually over there serving. The good news is we get Todd and Julie Powers are actually going to be here May 3rd and 4th, and you're going to get to hear from them directly. So I'm going to save some of the stories for them. But the team, while they were there, they had a neat opportunity. They did a lot of outreaches and different kind of services. But one of the neat ones was when they went to this area that was, it was run by Buddhist monks at this orphan home, and they got to share the gospel for the very first time ever to those kids. They had never heard the gospel before, and what a great opportunity. Yeah. The second trip we took was to Juarez, Mexico. We sent our newlyweds at the time, Pastor Brock and Tori, and they got to lead the team. We partnered with another church over there, and on that trip, they got to do all kinds of, like, construction work. They did children's ministry. They even went into, like, a retirement center with some special needs people in there, and it was just a neat seeing the stories and some of the testimonies that came from that. But we want to share one of those testimonies with you right now.
My name's Alex, and last summer, I went on my first missions trip to Mexico. It was really kind of interesting, really. You go, and you sit in church, and you hear about these missions. You know, you hear about Africa, you hear about, I don't know, Thailand, Mexico, wherever. And you get this idea, this kind of predetermined idea of what a missions trip should be. And then you go, and it's kind of what you imagine, but it's really different because you're there to experience it. And when you're there, you get this whole different view on what a missions trip really is. They're looking for the same things we are. We're looking for Jesus, we're looking for the Word and all this stuff. But it's different because they're so ready and they don't have the materials that we do. They don't have all the luxuries of big buildings and lights and sounds and, you know, cars to drive them everywhere. And so it was really interesting to see that and to go to a place where it's so similar to what we do and have it be so different. And we were there to kind of help them and show them how we do things and how we can help them in their walk as well. You know, you go on a missions trip and you think that as a Christian, you're gonna do whatever you can to help these people and share the word of Jesus with them. But then after you're done, you come back and you want to do all of that here. You wanna bring your mission home. And I think that's really important because that's what I came home with from my mission, was this feeling of, we can do more of that here. And, you know, missions trips are really important. I mean, because it's not just coming to Sunday service or Saturday service or whatever. And you sit in a chair, you raise your hands for worship, and you listen to a message. And, you know, that's what we think, you know, Christianity should be. But when you're on a missions trip, you are the hands and feet. You're doing what you're hearing from Sunday or Saturday service or whatever message, you're doing what you're hearing you should be doing. And that's really like the point of spreading the word, is we're going out to the distant world and spreading it from what we have to what they have.
Man, that's one articulate young man, let me tell you that. That is like the best plug that I've heard for why people should go on a missions trip. The third trip that we took was last October, and we took a group of people from this church to Israel. And while you might think that it was all about sightseeing, it wasn't just about sightseeing. We did see the sights while we were there, but we were there for a specific purpose, to be a part of the Awake Jerusalem initiative. And that was, we were going from place to place in Israel, and we were spending concentrated amounts of time, usually two-hour blocks, praying and interceding for Jerusalem, for the people of Israel, for the Middle East. We were doing worship times. It was really, really amazing. How many of you know that Jerusalem is the exact center of the earth? Did you know that? Yeah, some of you knew that. And there's the old saying that goes, as Jerusalem goes, so goes the rest of the world. So it's to our advantage to be praying for the Jewish people, to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. So this coming year, we're going to take another trip. We're going to be involved in that same initiative, praying through the country, interceding for them. So as Pastor Chad said, if you want to know more about that trip, there's an information sheet out at the event kiosk. But here's a testimony and a video of our trip to Israel this past October.
Hi, my name's Dee Dee. And I had the privilege of going on the Israel trip this past October with a wonderful group from the church. And we joined with Robert Stern's group, Eagle's Wings. And we not only were on a mission to sightsee and do some wonderful things like that, but we really were on a mission to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. During our 10 days there, we engaged in worship, traveled all through Israel. We were baptized in the Jordan, and we saw some wonderful places. But what we experienced really, truly was the heart of God in the holiest city in the world. And the presence of the Lord and the experiences that we had where we worshiped, there was just a move on our group. And we had powerful experiences in worship and just growing and knowing the Lord. The Lord really gave me a love story while I was there. I have a pretty busy life, pretty hectic job, and the timing wasn't perfect, yet God put me at the right place at the right time. The revelations that came during that time were treasures that I will hold for a lifetime. It's a wonderful place to see all of the holy places of Israel and to see the people and have a new, fresh understanding of places in the Bible. It's rich in history, but there's something about the heart of God there that's unique and special, and He'll give you something just for you, special just for you. So if you have the opportunity to go on a missions trip, I encourage you to go. Your intention is to go and give of yourself and do something for the Lord, and that is what you do. But you also come back blessed and full of rich experiences that change your life in the end.
Then our final trip we took this year was in November to Swaziland, now known as Eswatini. We took a team of 14 people with us over there. And I want to tell you, Life Church, you need to be proud of your team. The pastors, the report I got from the pastors on the ground, they said that your church is real. They said that of all the teams and different churches that have come over there, ours was the most real church they'd ever seen. But on that trip, we got to see people getting prayed, praying for the sick. We got to see people getting filled with the Holy Spirit. We got to run two women's conferences that were absolutely amazing, because a lot of the churches are made up predominantly of women because the men are out at the mines or different places working, so the church is the women. And we got to do those conferences, got to do the feeding sites and play with kids, and it was just a powerful trip. At one point at the orphan home, four girls got filled with the Holy Spirit. Pastor Evelyn had to ask them. She's like, "Now, you're not speaking to Saswati, are you?" She wanted to make sure that they really got it. She led one of our drivers to the Lord while we were there. It was just a great trip. And here's a testimony and video from that trip.
Hi, my name is Graciela, and I had the opportunity to go to a missions trip last November to Swaziland/Eswatini with Pastor Chad and his team. There we had the opportunity to meet the Swazi people. We went to three different church plants that Pastor Chad has there. We ministered to the people. We taught at the women's conference there. We loved on the people, prayed for the people. We also saw healings. We saw salvations. We saw some get spirit-filled. These were also feeding sites, and so we had the opportunity to help feed the children and the adults also. We just had the opportunity to love on these people, and I got to see the people. We fell in love with the Swazi people. We ministered to them. They are just strong people, and it confirmed in me and convinced me and made more alive the command that Jesus gave to go forth and preach the gospel to all creatures. The gospel is the good news, and we need to bring the good news. This is what the Swazi people need, is to hear God's good news, to know and to learn the God's word and His promise, and to become the children of God, which are victorious people. They can become the children of God that know who they are, and they can learn to pray and make a change in their nation.
Missions Week is not just on the weekends. This Wednesday night, we've got a great opportunity for you. You're going to get to hear more about Swaziland on Wednesday night. We've got a movie called Liana. This movie was actually made by one of the missionary kids. Now he works in Hollywood. He's a director. But it's all filmed right there in Swaziland, telling the story of some of the orphans in Swaziland. It's a must-see. You guys want to come out for this. It's $5 at 6:30 this coming Wednesday night. And Life Church, I know we're last-minute people. We wait till last minute to plan, to do everything. Please go out there and get your tickets today. Some of you are saying, hey, I don't know what I'm doing Wednesday yet. Just buy the ticket. If nothing else, you just donated money towards missions. All the proceeds are going to missions. So come and get your tickets and come hungry. We got a concession stand. We're not charging movie theater prices for the concession stand. So you can actually feed your family at the concession stand. But come hungry, and it's going to be a great night. We've got a special treat for you, too. We have our very own Liana that's going to be here with us. So when you go buy your tickets, you can actually meet her. Her name is Lindelwa. She's actually here from Swaziland, and you're going to get a chance to meet her before she heads back to Swaziland after the school year is over. So please stop on back there, meet her, and buy your tickets. Just a little plug for the movie.
That's great. So as we get ready to wrap up here in the next couple minutes, I want to talk to you about next weekend, because next weekend we're going to ask you to participate in missions for 2019. And there's going to be two ways we're going to ask you to do that. First of all, we're going to ask you to make a faith promise commitment next weekend in the services as to what you feel like God is leading you to do for missions over the next year. And so we'll ask you to fill out a faith promise commitment card. What is that? Well, that's between you and God. We'll never ask you for that commitment. But when you fill out that commitment about this is what I feel like God is asking me to do over the next year, it helps us to be able to set our budget for the next year. So what is our budget for the next year? Well, our budget for 2019 to support all the missionaries that we've talked about in the outreaches is $80,000 for this year. Now, this year we gave $183,000 to missions, but that's on top of your faith promise commitment. So that was offerings we took, special projects we took on, and all that, which is amazing. But just what we need to raise to take care of our missionaries is $80,000 next weekend. So we're going to ask you to take time this week and to pray. And to say, God, what's my part in this? How do you want me to be a part of missions? And then the second thing we're going to do is we're going to take a missions love offering next weekend. Here's what it's going to go towards. Pastor Chad, in a moment, is going to talk to you about Pastor Mogheni and the people that he has gathered and the wonderful work that he's doing in Swaziland. And we have an opportunity to build a church right there in Swaziland. They're in desperate need of a building. And so for $7,000, we can build that church. And so that's one of the projects we want to take on. We're making that our Missions Week project. And so next week when you come, we'll also be taking a love offering for that to see if we can't raise that $7,000 and build that church for them. So tell them a little bit about Pastor Mogheni.
I want to start by just telling you this church plant that we're doing in Swaziland is pretty special. Because a little over 10 years ago, God laid it on my heart that Life Church was going to be planting a church in Swaziland. I wasn't here working at Life Church at the time as a pastor. There was nothing there to say that, but I just knew that Life Church needed a presence in Swaziland. So when we plant this church in Ntadozi, this is going to be the 34th church that my family's been privileged to get to plant in Africa. And we are excited that we get to partner with Life Church on this plant. Now, I got to tell you, as we're driving to see the land, Nate was with me in the vehicle. I was getting really frustrated because we're driving out and it's like in the middle of nowhere and we kept going further away from people and I'm like, why are we going here? But then once we stopped and we started seeing all the kids that were getting dropped off right there at that spot in the middle of nowhere, we realized that this is the center of the city. This town has over 14,000 people and there's not a single church of any denomination in the area. And we get to go and plant a church there. But we are centered right between the high school and the elementary school. Everybody has to pass by our area and this is where we get to be. When we secured the land, we had to buy the cow, pay the cow, secured it, got the land set for us. Pastor's already been on the ground. They've got three home churches already established in this area, so they are ready for this church to come. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the pastor. I'm going to backtrack a little bit. Wendy and I moved over in 2001 to Swaziland to help start a teen challenge. It was the first teen challenge on the continent of Africa. While we were doing this teen challenge program, the kids that were graduating from the program, these young men, Wendy and I got a chance to disciple them. We got to help disciple, train them. And the ones that had kind of a special call in their life, and we see these guys wanted to go into ministry, we took these young men and we started doing even extra discipleship. We took them out, giving their testimonies in schools and prisons and all over. We even did human videos. Now, that's really dating myself. For those of you that don't know what human videos are, you can Google it later. But we would do human videos with these guys and take them out all around the country and share. One guy really stood out to us, and his name was Nhlanhla Motsa. Nhlanhla was just a special guy. Always laughing, had a great time with him. Every time we would do human videos, he was always cracking us up. But he had just a special heart. And one of the human videos we were doing was called Chains. And it was talking about breaking out of these chains. And during one of the sessions, we saw he wasn't himself. We were like, what's going on? We realized that he had warrants for his arrest still from things he had done before he got saved. We had to take him to the police department. He confessed all the things that he did, and they released him free. And the human video was called Free, the one that we did. And so I wish I had it on VHS, but we have a video of him doing that. And Nhlanhla was special. And the picture you saw, it's of him getting his application to come to Master's Commission in Rockford. We brought him here, put him through Master's Commission. He graduated. We sent him back to Swaziland and just cut him loose. 10 years ago, December, driving from Solon, Ohio to Elyria, Ohio, and I get a phone call from my wife. And Nhlanhla passed away. We heard he was sick, but we didn't know how bad it was. My heart broke because I felt like I abandoned him, like maybe I should have been there more for him. Like I just cut him loose and left him out there. This guy's my son. These pastors that we raise up and that we pour our lives into, they're like our own kids. When you get that call that your son just died, it just crushed me. That messed me up for a while. A lot of regrets, a lot of questions like, what could we have done different? Could we have helped him more? Fast forward 2014, so it was about 5 years. We're doing a Christmas party at one of our feeding sites. We had about 250 to 300 kids out there, bounce houses, all kinds of activities, doing Bible clubs with them. And this car pulls up, and one of my pastors, who was also one of those guys that we helped disciple at Teen Challenge, brought me over to introduce me to this man named Bo Gainey. When I met Bo Gainey, he says, I know you. He shook my hand, gave me a hug. And I said, how do you know me? I said, I've never met you. He says, when Nhlanhla led me to the Lord in prison, he told me all about you. Before he passed away, he had still been doing prison ministry, and he had led Bo Gainey to the Lord. Bo Gainey was a naughty boy. This kid involved in all kinds of crime. He's a drunk, just a thief. We met one of his schoolmates this last trip that we were on, and he said, oh, man, he would steal from me at school. I never got anything for lunch. He'd steal my pencils. Like, he was just, he started all the way up. Dad died as a drunkard. People come up to his mom on the street and say, your son, he's a thief, he's a crook, he's a drunkard. And she goes, no, you got the wrong person. My son's a pastor, he's a man of God. I said, no. Another lady come up, your son, he's bad, he's in jail now, he's a bad boy. She's like, no, that's not my son. My son's a preacher, he's a man of God. When we took this team over in November, we got to do the church service there at Pastor Bongani's church in Bulanzeni, pastoring in that community with those ladies that used to come up to his mom in the church, pastoring the church there. Pastor Bongani right now is running our ministry in Swaziland for us. He runs everything for us on the ground there. He's trained up 6 pastors right now. He's got 3 church plants. He's already did. We got 3 that are on the way. That's your missions dollars. This church has supported us. Back when we had doing work with Nhlanhla and the Teen Challenge all the way through, this is where mission dollars go. These are lives that have been impacted. These are churches that have been planted. These are people that are out there carrying on. Your money just doesn't start going to that missionary, but look at all the seeds that have been sown through one of your missionaries, and now it's continuing to go on. I want to show you a video here. I want to introduce you to Pastor Bongani. So watch the video, please.
My name is Mbongeni. I'm a pastor in Swaziland. We are a church that focuses in kids that are orphans, kids who have been abused, kids who have got nobody to take care of. We have got people who are out there praying for us and also making it possible for us financially to be able to do what we have done so far, more especially the Owens family, Chad and his family. We just want to appreciate what you are doing for us and the people behind you who have helped you to help us in terms of doing what we are doing. The 200 kids that we are feeding in a daily basis, the 30 kids that are doing the preschool, it is because of you good people who have helped us to be able to do this. We really appreciate you. We pray that God gives you more and more so that we can be able to bring impact to the kingdom of God together. I know that we are partners. We are doing the same thing what we are doing here. It's not that we are only doing, we are also doing it with you, because without you, we're not going to do anything. So our vision is to reach out to the country for salvation, to save the lost souls, and to disciple those people who have given their lives to the Lord and prepare them for the work of the ministry.
I want to end our service today with the same seven words that we began the service with. Jesus' words to his disciples, Jesus' words to you. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt, that's ordinary people, common people, like you and I choose to, we can change the world. That's the hope of the gospel. Ordinary people, not superheroes. But people like us, we can make a difference all around this world. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for every person in this room, every person watching online, those that call Life Church their home. I thank you for all the sacrifices, all of the money that has been given to missions through this house, that has changed and continues to change lives around this world. First, right here in Roscoe and Rockford and southern Wisconsin, then throughout the United States, and then throughout the world. God, today, would you just speak to each of us about these seven words, that we are the salt of the earth. God, help us to realize that what we do with our lives, what we do with our gifts, our talents, our treasures, it impacts people. So today I just pray that you would bless the people of Life Church. God, throughout this week, as they're praying and you're speaking, God, we just say, Lord, we make ourselves available. We make ourselves available to you. So, Lord, show us what we're to give next week. Show us how we're to participate this year in missions. Have your way, God. May this be the best year that we've ever had in missions for Life Church. May we reach more people, because everybody should have the opportunity to hear about what you've done for them. In your name we pray.